All right, what's going on, guys? This is In Time Headlines, and we want to welcome tonight's broadcast. Tonight, we're going to be doing a reaction video. I'm going to share with you a testimony from a man by the name of Richard Lorenzo Jr., who was a ex-warlock, one time was embroiled in the occult, engaging in evil and encouraging others to do the same. But in 2019, he had an encounter with Jesus Christ that completely changed his life. We're going to do a reaction video. He had a recent interview with CBN News. Well, I say recent, but this was last year, but it's relevant for now. He had an interview with CBN News, and we're going to do, I've never watched this interview, but I'm familiar with this man. I'm familiar with his testimony. I'm familiar with his background, but I'm going to watch this with you, live reaction. We're going to watch this. Because I believe this is important as we are now, as of the recording of this, it is October 31st. It is Halloween. Millions upon millions of people are participating in a commemoration of darkness and evil. He's going to shed some light today in this testimony of why, especially as believers, we should not be coming into fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's up, family? Again, we welcome everybody to the broadcast. We welcome everybody on YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening from. Can you help us out? Get this message out there. Get it spreading across the platforms. You can do that real easy by taking just a second to go and hit that like button. And then for your benefit, to keep up with our ministry on these social media platforms, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification, and then take it a step further. If you don't want to miss any of our content, podcasts, headlines, breaking news, prophecy, viewpoints, all of that, get our free app today on Apple and Android devices. Download it today and hit yes to push notifications. All right, as we said at the opening, the introduction of this message, we're going to talk about discuss an interview here. We're going to do a reaction. This is a reaction video. CBN News is interviewing ex-warlock Richard Lorenzo Jr., who God delivered out of darkness and brought into his marvelous light. And he's going to give us a very strong warning about the dangers of participating in Halloween. So let's watch this together. Again, I've never seen this before, so we're watching this in reaction together.
So, Pastor Rich, I have read a little bit about your story, and you have a wild testimony. You came to faith a couple of years ago in 2019. You're a preacher now, and there's so much to unpack. And I don't want to start with your childhood. I actually want to start with you were living a life very different from being a pastor and a Christian. You were living essentially in the occult. How in the world did you end up dealing with these issues like voodoo, Santeria? How did you end up there?
So it was me seeking spiritual truth. It's the question that used to run through my mind and really bothered me a lot was, what's the purpose of life? Because I had attained all these worldly goals, like these check marks on my list, my lifetime, list to fulfill certain things. And, things were being fulfilled. The goals I had since I was younger, money, traveling, educational, everything that I wanted, woman, all these things. And I was still empty inside. So that.
Okay. So right off the bat, this is what I've said for years. And this was my case as well. The whole world is searching for God. Believe it or not, the whole entire globe, every individual on the planet is looking and searching for God. But the problem is, they're looking and searching in all the wrong places. They've got the wrong, I always say it like this, they're looking for God, but they've got the wrong phone number. They've got the wrong number. They've got Buddha's number. They've got Allah's number. They've got Confucius's number. They've got all these wrong numbers, but they don't have the way, the truth, and the life. So I love what he says right off the top of the, right off the top. He was like, you know, I've had the women, I've had the fame, I've had the fortune, I've had all of these things were fulfilled, but I was empty on the inside, because those things will bring happiness, but they won't bring joy. And there's a difference. There's a long-term joy that only comes from the presence of God and having a relationship with Him. All these other paths, there's a way that seems right in a man, but in the end, it leads to death. So let's, I just wanted to emphasize that. Let's go on.
Question would run through my mind constantly. What's the purpose of life? Like, what are we doing here? And I would be with my friends, you know, smoking, drinking, partying, just hanging out, you know, and just asking that question constantly, like, hey guys, you know, what do you guys think we're doing here? And people would always want to change the subject. They wouldn't want to, you know, talk about it because it's a deep question. And that's what led me to consider spiritual practices. And it wasn't really until I lost a package, a drug package in the mail, that just sparked everything.
Because you were already a drug lord, by the way. You were a drug lord. Like, you were dealing drugs, right? I mean, yep. This is something you were doing.
Yeah, I was a kingpin, drug lord. If I was to get arrested, if I would have got arrested back then through that around that time, they would have definitely marked me with like a kingpin charge and all that, because of the operation I had. It was from state to state. It was federal, even out of the country. It was a huge marijuana operation. My entire life I sold drugs, but this was like when I really went all in and started to really build a network. And yeah, man, I lost a package. It was for about $20,000. And I mean, back then it wasn't really a lot for me because I was making a lot more, but it was more of like a pride thing. It was more like I need to figure out who did this, you know. And I had dabbled on the dark web and all that. And I knew how the dark web worked when it came to drugs, and how people manipulate even, you know, the postal, you know, USPS, UPS, FedEx, how they're able to get in and steal packages. And I just felt something like, man, I want to figure out who did this. Like, you know, the package on the system just said, you know, not delivered. It just was a pending delivery, never changed. I remember I even called USPS off of, you know, my burner phone, you know, trying to figure out information, and they just couldn't figure it out.
So not only was he dealing into dark occult practices, but now he's going on to the dark web. I mean, these are dangerous practices, and literally you're opening yourself up to all kinds of trouble. So, I mean, this guy is, you know, he's at the bottom of the barrel, he's at the pit, like the bottom of the pit, in delving into dark forces, demonic forces, the whole nine yards. So it's interesting to point that out here, because the reason why I'm sharing that is because this gives hope for somebody. Maybe you're watching and you're listening. This isn't just an expose against Halloween, guys, but it's also a great reminder, and it gives hope to those who, and I'm pretty sure that most people that's going to be watching this, listening to this, you're not in this predicament, but maybe you came out of it and you have a testimony like this. Or watch this. Maybe you have family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, and acquaintances that are in this predicament. Maybe they're delved into the dark web, drugs, addiction, the occult, witchcraft, and this is a reminder to you, there is still hope for them. If they have breath in their lungs, they have a heartbeat, they have a hope.
USPS, I'm sorry. And I mean, I just went deep. I decided, you know what? I can't do it in the physical realm. I'm going to take it to the spiritual realm. And at this point, I had already dabbled in psychedelics, you know, things like yoga, Buddhism, Hinduism, quantum physics. I'd already been studying these things. You know, Nikola Tesla, just his what he believed in. You know, his theological stance on spiritual stuff. Friedrich Nietzsche. You know, I was, and
these are all new age gurus. And note, did you hear that he mentioned yoga? Cause there's there's not only a lot of Christians that will watch and listen to this and still defend Halloween, but they'll watch and listen to this and still defend yoga. And notice he named that in a negative connotation here.
These guys, by the way, they had terrible, life ending, tragedies.
Well, of course.
Suicide and different things. They went crazy because they couldn't figure it out either. Mm. So at this point, I was like, you know what? This gives me an excuse. Let's go to Haiti. And the girl I was dating, you know, she had a voodoo priest cousin in Haiti, well-known in a city called Jacmel. Very, very well-known. Very, very popular out there. You know, big property, taken care of because of how successful he was with the witchcraft. And so, you know.
And notice he said there was success with witchcraft. And, you know, you remember in the book of Acts when there was a woman that was demon possessed and the apostles were walking through the cities and one of the apostles called out the woman who was demon possessed and he rebuked the devil. And he exorcised the devil out of her. He committed what we would call an exorcism. He delivered this woman from this demonic spirit. And the merchants became angry because they were making profit off of her. They were making profit off of demons and the practice of this. So these people understand this. And he's talking about this story in Haiti. Or these witch doctors, they're very wealthy because the devil will grant you and give you your heart's desire. Even though the Bible says that, you know, even if you trust in the Lord and you commit your ways to him and seek him, he'll give you your heart's desire, but it's got to be in tune with him. Like when you're born again, your entire nature changes and you're going to want a desire to do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. But I want you to get this. The devil will also give you your heart's desire when you're following in the flesh and the carnal nature and you're serving him. He will promise you the world. And this is why the word of the Lord warns, says, why should you gain the whole world yet? Come on, lose your soul or forfeit your soul. Remember, Satan offered Christ, I'll give you the kingdoms of this world if you just bow down and serve me.
You know, when I asked her about, you know, meeting him and she spoke to him, she said that we'd have to go out to Haiti. And at that point, you know, she thought, you know, oh, you're not going to go. You know, that's no one goes to Haiti unless you're crazy. And I was like, well, let's go. And we went. And when we got out there, you know, I saw things that I'd never seen before. You know, I seen the rituals. I seen, the, you know, the tarot cards. I seen a demon, a literal ancestral spirit, which is a demon, possessed the man after him doing a whole ritual and demonic worship and praise onto the deity. They're called Luas. And
did you hear that? A demonic worship and praise. And I can't even get half the Christians out here to believe in spiritual warfare. And I've always said, if you don't believe that there's real spiritual warfare, again, take a missionary trip to Haiti. Like this man's talking about, you'll see it in real action over there because it's a stronghold of that stuff. You know, thank God we do have a remnant here that understands this and they push back the forces of darkness through prayer and through intercession.
And Haitian voodoo and the demons speak through him. And like the devil does, you know, he wants to kill, steal and destroy, but he'll always tell you
what were you thinking? I mean, so you go down there, this package sends you on this tailspin, you go down to Haiti and you're going down there to tap into something, you know, that you assume is greater than what you could do as a human being. You go down there and you see what you just described. As you were watching these things, was there any part of you that was like, maybe this was a mistake? Or were you like, wow, this is going to help me? Like, what was going through your mind during that?
I was, at first I was scared. I mean, not scared. I would say nervous because it was a third world country and where this guy had property, it was not in a nice area. So seeing like the people, the culture, you know, buildings half cut off because of the earthquake just destroyed, you know, I was a little bit on guard. And then when I got to see what he was doing, I was very defensive. I didn't believe in it. I was like, man, this is a waste of money. Like there's like, you know, I spent this money to come out here. Like, this is stupid. But then when he started, you know, reading my cards and doing different things and telling me truths of my past, like specific details, that's when I was like, okay, maybe this is it.
Again, that's called, again, delving into and practicing the, into what's called familiar spirits. Cause see, the Familiar spirits, guys, knows things about us. Why? How's that possible, Brother Ricky? The answer is, remember, spirits are eternal. Demonic spirits are eternal. Angels are eternal. Principalities are eternal. Meaning, they've been here since the dawn of creation when they were created. And they were created, the angels, the sons of God, the sons of morning, the cherubim, the seraphim, the living creatures, they were all created in the book of Job. The book of Job talks about this. But then I believe evil spirits came from the bodies of the Nephilim, the giants. In Genesis 6, when those giants were birthed into the earth through the angels that held not their first estate, these defiant angels that defy God, and they went into the daughters of men and created a lineage or a race of giants, when those, and which were demigods, so they were half man, half angelic being. When they died, again, a lot of theologians believe this, scholars believe this, that their spirit, when their spirit came out of them, it still roams the earth and became what we would call today evil spirits, or unclean spirits, or demonic spirits, okay? So, now having said that, these spirits have been here for thousands of years. So they are, and these spirits take up territories. They become acquainted with territories. They become acquainted with people and lineages and generations of people. And they're, I don't know if he's going to get into this, but he probably will. But these demons are attracted to the occult practices, demonic worship, demonic praise, the shedding of innocent blood, all this stuff attracts these demons. And that's why this voodoo doctor, witch doctor, was operating through demonic powers. Again, Jannes and Jambres, guys, go to the book of Exodus. They were able to replicate the same thing that Moses was doing by the power of the Lord, but it only went so far. Oh, come on. The devil can only replicate and counterfeit so much, but God will always, come on, he will have the superior word. There is no other name given under heaven unto men. Come on. The authority of Jesus' name is higher than any name, any principality. The Bible says he's been exalted above all thrones and principalities, things, demonic forces and powers and angels in the sea and the land and in the heavens. It's all there. So anyway, we wanted to talk about that.
Maybe I did make the right decision. But I want to know who stole my package. Like, I need names. I need details. And that's the one thing that the devil used to keep me going, because he told me all these things, but he wouldn't tell me who it was. What that demon spoke through him and said was, hey, when you get back, it'll be revealed to you. So I was, after seeing all the stuff I saw, I mean, human skulls in the huts and the rituals. And it, I mean, that stuff was just like weird. It was eerie. Like, it was just like, I didn't like it. I was like, man, this ain't, you know, what I prefer, but I respected their culture and like, okay, this is what they do. You know, maybe it's a cultural thing, traditional thing, maybe just because I'm not used to it, you know, that, but I mean, even back then I had discernment and I knew that it was wrong. Deep down in my stomach, I knew it was wrong, but yeah, I got back to America. That's when things went crazy. I mean, friends, you know, just turning on me and even me turning on friends. It got really divisive.
Well, you know what probably happened, and again, he may get into this, I don't know, because again, I'm watching this just like you guys are. He probably brought some visitors back with him, if you know what I mean. There was probably spirits that came back with him because of what he got entangled with. And this is why it's very dangerous. Let me make a disclaimer here. This is why I tell you, do not delve into this type of stuff. Tarot cards, fortune tellers, Ouija boards. You're literally laying down a welcome mat for demons to come right into your life. Now, am I saying he was possessed? No, but you can be oppressed. Again, I can go out into the woods. Let me give you a metaphor here. Let me give you an example. I can go out into the woods and go hiking and come home and unbeknownst to me, until I get cleaned up, change my clothes, get a shower. I will look, and lo and behold, I find a visitor was hiking a ride with me. And I look down, and on my skin, in my or on my head or somewhere on my body, there's a tick. Now, it wasn't in me, but it was on me. And so, again, people that delve into this kind of stuff, they come home and they're bringing, come on, demonic spirits back with them. And then, excuse the pun here, but all hell breaks loose when they get back home. And it's literally all hell breaks loose because it's demonic powers in operation. So I'm not surprised by what he's saying here.
Isolation, you know, isolated myself.
So you were starting to be affected by that experience and by opening yourself up to that.
Yeah. Wow. Once I opened myself up to that, it was go time. I mean, that's when everything just went to a whole nother level. My mind, just like my emotions, my anger, the murder I had in my heart, just different things. Cause I'm in the drug game and, you know, just assumptions and rejection just from, you know, I didn't know that all these things were just all came together and where, you know, they were trying to, those unclean spirits, those demons, you know, Satan was trying to, you know, induct me into the demonic realm as a, you know, a dual inducted warlock. And it was a whole plan he had. So it was that breaking point. And I went down a crazy path. It wasn't just Haiti. After that, you know, I went to more voodoo priests in LA and psychics and mediums. Now I don't even care about the package. It doesn't even like matter to me anymore. I'm going and seeking more stuff. I went to New Orleans.
Notice the locations he's talking about. Again, these are strongholds. There's places in Colorado. There's places in New Orleans. There's strongholds in Salem, Massachusetts. There's these strongholds even in the United States where there is major occultic activity. And the demons know this because they're there. And people gravitate, the New Agers gravitate, those who practice witchcraft. We just did a podcast this week talking about all these witches that are trying to bind spells on Trump. And I stand to be corrected, but if I remember right, my memory serves me right, the organizer of this is from Salem, Massachusetts, that organizing all this stuff. So again, once you see this, guys, the veil starts lifting off your eyes and it becomes so obvious to you.
The warlock that does voodoo for Solange Knowles, Beyonce's sister, actually seen her walk into the witchcraft store while I was there doing rituals. Like, I mean, I'm seeing her buy, you know, the items for the ritual, her going to the counter, you know, speaking to the warlock. And then, you know,
did you catch that? Beyonce's sister, because Beyonce is delved into, she practices this stuff. I'm going to tell you somebody else that's into this is Taylor Swift. And some of y'all listen to that music. Some of your kids listen to it. Some of your grandchildren listen to it. But they are steeped into the occult and witchcraft. Again, open your eyes. Wake up.
Thinking, man, this is Solange Knowles. This is Beyonce's sister. These are multimillionaires, famous people. This is my calling. Like, you know, this is what I'm called to do. This is my ancestral, you know, thing. Like, this is what my family, my relatives from way back did, because they have all these lies. They tell you all these stories about reincarnation, where you come from, what your grandma, your great, 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 great grandmother did. And they try to convince you, like, man, like, this is what it is the truth.
Again, familiar spirits will do that.
And man, the psychics and the mediums, I'm assuming, like the psychics, the mediums, the other people you're going to see, they're telling you, you were meant to do this. You were meant to go down this path. So it starts with that package. You go down there, you experience that. Then you start searching for it all over the place. You're seeing people who are reinforcing this idea. For those who don't know, what is a warlock? Because that's a term that might be unfamiliar to some.
A warlock is like a male witch in a way. And a warlock isn't just someone who wears crystals around their neck, like TikTok, you know, you see, like, it's someone who really practices. It's like a demonic pastor or a demonic prophet, like a leader. Like, you have a pastor of a church, someone who leads a church. Then you got the other side. A warlock is someone who trains up other warlocks, who trains them up to be used and eventually get their own. In that culture, they call it botanica, which is a witchcraft store. And once you have that, then you start training up. It's like the devil takes everything, God doesn't perverts it.
Yeah.
So like, just like, you know, in the kingdom of God, we have, you know, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, right? In Ephesians, the fivefold ministry. You also have the devil who takes it and perverts it on the other side and has his version of it. Because,
in other words, translation, just like Christ called us to make disciples of all men, Satan is rallying his kingdom and building and filling his kingdom, going out and dragging people like this man into the kingdom of darkness. And then he begins to recruit and make disciples for Satan. And you know what the sad part is? There is people out there that are professed Christians that practice witchcraft. There is even a whole group out there that calls themselves Christian witches. But I got news for you. There's no such thing. They are literally witches, period. There is no Christian witches. Light and darkness does not mix. It does not mingle. What fellowship does Christ have with Belial that light has with darkness? This is why the Lord says, come out from among them and be separate. He didn't say go among them and mingle.
Because he can't create, he only could just pervert, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, and so you're starting to believe this, that there's this whole history in your family that you should embrace this. What was going on in terms of your practice of, you know, were you communicating with these demons? Were you interacting with them? What was sort of happening as you were descending into this?
I was definitely communicating with them. My faith was at such a level in these ancestral spirits or demons that I believed, you know, they were what I was taught. So there was different spirits. You know, there was Cherokee spirits, you know, Haitian voodoo spirits, Santeria spirits who have names. And I would listen to them. I would hear their voice. I would listen to them. I would follow them. I'd be led places. There was like, you know, divine stuff happening. Like it was, or supernatural stuff happening that really made me believe like, man, this is real, you know? And it wasn't God. It wasn't Yahweh. It wasn't, you know, Yeshua. It wasn't the highest power, but it was a demonic power. I seen things that were real. I took, you know, ritual baths. I did rituals. I saw power. And it was real. It was definitely real. And it was deceptive though.
How long, and I would add too, you know, you were in the military, right? You had this success that was really good success, but that was tainted as you were sort of living this double life. This descent into the occult, did that overlap your military experience? Did that also overlap sort of your normal life that you were living?
It did. So when I got out of the military, I had my FAA certificate, like as a air traffic controller. I was certified through the FAA to work as an air traffic controller in the towers. I could have went and just started working. I had to go to Oklahoma, take a few more tests and really get certified and just go all out making, you know, six figures starting off. I had my bachelor's degree. I was in graduate school, all that stuff, great GPA, but I stopped everything. I stopped all my plans going that route. Even
I want to interject something here. This is a good point to interject here. It's not just those that are impoverished, broken in despair, drug addicts, alcoholics. It's not just those kind of people that are prime pickings for demonic powers and Satan to use. Again, here's a man that was, he served in the military. He was embarking into a successful career. So we can't judge, guys, but we got to be careful. We think that, you know, we can judge by appearance and say, okay, well, Satan's only going to pick these type of vessels to use. That's not true. We're talking about everyday, ordinary people, businessmen, successful people, any facet of the workforce and the environment. Satan, just like God, again, it's the perversion of this. Even in Corinthians, God says that he picks the foolish to confound the wise and the weak to confound the mighty. Satan also, he looks at people who are, watch this, searching for the supernatural, but doesn't that are unaware of the path that they need to take. So Satan takes advantage of this, and this is exactly what happened to this man.
Even the marijuana, it was like money, like the love of, or the fiending for money. Like I had my entire life, it kind of like transitioned to where everything was like spiritual now. I had a savings and everything, and I was just like, you know, I'm gonna go all out with the spiritual stuff because I wanna know the truth. Like deep down, I knew there was more. So like in witchcraft, there's always more to learn and more to do. Like there's never I got it now. Like I know the truth now. It's always something new. That's what led me into shamanism, being trained up by shamans with chakra balancing. Actually one of a famous shaman worldwide, known worldwide, he trained me up, you know, in West Palm Beach. And, you know, and I learned all that stuff, the Cherokee and Syrian spirits, the breath work. I did the breath work. I've been to all those practices where everyone's breathing in and breathing out. And, you know, there's actual demonic manifestations, people like demons like manifesting. I didn't know that back then. I thought it was like, you're getting rid of your trauma and like all this stuff. And man, it was crazy because of how it was real, but there wasn't a truth revealed to where it satisfied, you know, deep down in your spirit, like this is it. It was always more.
So, you know, it's interesting because, and I'm trying to put myself in your mindset back then. You were selling drugs. You lose this package. You know, you're trying to solve this thing. You go down this path. You just described, and I think one of the saddest things about this, and correct me if I'm wrong at all, but a lot of people who go into the occult, certain parts of it, they think they're helping people. They actually believe, like, we're here to heal these people, or even a psychic or a medium. And I don't think a lot of Christians think of it this way, but they believe they're connecting you with a dead loved one, that they're actually helping you, some of these people. You know, as a warlock even, did you believe you were doing, even though you had these nefarious things you were trying to uncover with the drugs and who you know, stole the package, did you believe you were helping people? Like, what was your mindset as you were in the midst of this?
I definitely believed I was helping people. I mean, I was trying to convince family members and friends of this stuff. Like I was teaching people and letting them know, hey, this is good. This is there's a white side and a black side, white magic and black magic, you know, and really it just balances each other out. But hey, I'm not on the bad side. I don't want to kill anybody. I'm on the good side with, you know, with the herbs and the different things that you could heal emotions. And
remember, what's the scripture say? Satan comes as an angel of light. So he'll tell you, this is the Harry Potter side of it. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, Brother Ricky. You know, it's like pulling teeth, guys, to get a lot of Christians to open their eyes to things. Some of you guys, you have all the Harry Potter series. You've got the DVDs. You got them all on download on digital. You got all the books and you don't see anything wrong with that. And you let your kids delve into that. You're literally exposing them to witchcraft. But you think it's innocent. Oh, it's just that, it's that light side. It's the, you know how there's Budweiser and then there's Bud Light. Well, it's okay if we delve into witchcraft as long as it's witch light. It's not the full dose of witchcraft. It's just a little bit. It ain't going to hurt anything.
Traumas and physical ailments. And I thought that I was doing the right thing. I mean, I was even trying to convince my mother and father that it was our ancestral line, like this is ancestral spirits. And I thank God that my father and mother, you know, they stood strong. I mean, my dad, even though as a lukewarm Christian at the time, out of the church, kind of living a real lukewarm lifestyle, he still stood strong and was like the blood of Jesus, because my grandmother, and I didn't know this till later, was a powerful woman of God. She already was in heaven at the time of this whole, you know, spiritual journey. But she taught my dad things at a young age, and I didn't know any of this till I got saved. And then my dad actually came back to the Lord recently, which is good.
Wow.
Which is amazing. On fire for Jesus now. But
your whole family has, right? I mean, so you're trying to convince them of, you were trying to spend all this time convincing them of this stuff. You become a Christian and a pastor. Now your whole family has, and that, which is amazing.
Hallelujah.
That's amazing.
My entire family, my father, my mother, my brother, who looked at me in the eyes when I first got saved and said, wait till you find out it isn't Jesus. You know, because he was at the time very famous with cryptocurrency on YouTube. You could look him up, Alexander Lorenzo, well known in the cryptocurrency community, one of the first ones, multimillionaire, big warehouse, you know, cars, and you know, that fame and that pride. But he actually fell. He fell, had a hard fall and came to Christ, got deliverance, healing, and is on fire for the Lord now, on fire. I mean, dedicated to Jesus, like true relationship with God, filled with the Holy Spirit, like, and God is building him back up, which is beautiful. But yeah, my entire family, by the grace of God, got saved and they're on fire for Jesus now.
So how deep, you had that voodoo experience and then Santeria, did you view voodoo and Santeria as helpful and good? You know, because I know that while you were there, you said some of it seemed not, you know, it was a little off. You knew that some of it was off. What was your take and how deep did you go in those particular elements?
So there's a white side and a black side. Like they call it white magic and black magic. And I educated myself on both and saw different things on both. I actually turned down a few rituals that were offered to me by the voodoo priest from Haiti, who actually came to Florida to work with me. But you know, because he actually told me, like, "Hey, you can light up a candle to kill this person who owes you money," and that's the first time I heard a voice.
And see, this is the kind of stuff what he just said. This is the kind of stuff that these people are trying to do to Trump. They're trying to light these candles and they got voodoo dolls and they got all these things to try to cast and bind these spells against Trump to try to take him out. That's why even what we saw in Pennsylvania, I believe that's connected to this in the spiritual realm. But notice that it didn't prevail. The weapon was formed, come on somebody, but it didn't prosper. Why? Because he has a shield around him. And that shield is the Almighty God. It's prayers, it's intercessions, it's the angels of the Lord that are keeping him through the prayers and intercession of the body of Christ. It's praying for him.
Tell me, if you do this, I can't help you. And I actually asked the voodoo priest about Jesus. At that very moment, I just felt led to ask him because I was raised Catholic. And I'll never forget the minute I asked him about Jesus, when I said, "Hey, you know, what about Jesus?" And, you know, the demon inside of him put his head down and wouldn't look at me in the eyes. And the girl I was with, who's now my wife, she actually saw it too. And she and Creole said it again. "What about Jesus? Who was Jesus?" And he was like, "Oh, if I explain this to you, it's going to take a whole day. We'll do this tomorrow. We can't do that." Like, we got really nervous and ended the meeting that we were having. Because when you have a meeting with these warlocks and witches, you gotta bring a sacrifice. You gotta bring an amount of money. You gotta bring a bottle of rum. You gotta bring a cigar, whatever they require. Like every demon or deity requires a certain sacrifice in order to summon him in the body of the person. But it's
wow. And you know, the Apostle Paul talked about that in the book to the Church of Corinth. He said, when they sacrifice these things, they're actually sacrificing them to demons. Read it. It's in the book of Corinthians. When they are worshiping and praising these idols made of wood and stone, and they're bringing sacrifices, whether it be blood offerings, whether it be like what he's talking about here, they're making these sacrifices to demons. They're bringing these offerings to demons. And then he goes in, Paul talks about, you can't drink the cup of the Lord's and the cup of demons. You can't ride the fence. You can't do both. And this is all going to play into this podcast today, guys.
It's all fake, but the demon's already inside the person. You know, it's just coming up. But I saw all different types of stuff. White magic and black magic. The white magic I thought was good. You know, the protective side. I used to wear an evil eye. So I had an evil eye, $300 evil eye that was straight from Africa that they blessed. They took and blessed it. How they would bless certain objects was...
Well, that explains how when he came back home and all that stuff was going on, because when they quote unquote blessed it, they cursed it. That demons can attach to these objects, guys. And that's how he brought... There's your answer to how he brought that right back to his house.
You know, by doing a ritual and it supposedly protected me. I had beads on, different types of beads for different deities. There were certain beads like red and white for Chango, you know, green and yellow for another deity, and different blue and white. And these beads were supposed to protect you. And if you wore the beads, the deities would be around you and would protect you from evil. So I thought that I was protected from evil. My altars protected me from evil coming in my home. The sage that I would burn would protect me from evil coming in my home. The salt on the corners would protect me from evil coming in my home. When really I was just opening up demonic portals and allowing demons in, you know.
Come on.
And you're like a magnet. You're making yourself a magnet to be a magnet to evil. So you, I mean, this is, it's wild to me. I mean, how many years did you spend? How much time did you spend in the occult?
So it was a 1 year process. It was a quick 1 year process of me getting deep, going to different spiritual practices. I mean, I wasn't working. I wasn't selling drugs. I was out of the military. I was fully focused on just figuring out like more and more truth. So it was a 1 year process.
And at the end of that 1 year process, what happened?
So, after getting very, getting very deep and the practices and just continuing to learn more and more and more and more, eventually God started sending Christians. So Christians just started approaching me.
And I believe that was a direct result of, remember, this man had a praying. He had a father who was, even though he was lukewarm, he still had the seed of God in him. And then his grandmother was, from what his own statement, was a sold out, Holy Ghost, on fire woman of God. So we know right off the bat that those two were praying for this man. So this is how, that's why we always emphasize, guys, on Monday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, prayer is essential, because through our prayers and through our intercession, it changes things. We may not see it right away, and it may not happen a week from the time we pray, or a month, but it could be, in his case, he went a full year in darkness, but God preserved him, God protected him, and now, remember, he's still searching for truth. So now God is like, again, I've always said, God will allow Satan to have the first word, but then God has the last word. So let's see how this goes.
In the liquor store, one Christian approached me, the barber, my new barber. I had left California, moved to West Palm Beach. A new barber that I was going to, his name is Paul. And he started telling me about Jesus and showing me Christian rap. And, you know, all these super coincidental events led me to just like considering maybe it is Jesus, but I always kept it in the back burner because I was still deep into the witchcraft. But it wasn't until I ran across a video on YouTube as I was looking up chakra balancing and Reiki healing, just trying to perfect my craft, just get better at it. I ran across the video from Torben Sandergaard from the Last Reformation, powerful man of God. And he was casting demons out of a Reiki healer. I saw the title on my recommended, you know, Reiki healer delivered. I forgot how the title went, but it was Reiki healer delivered from demons or whatever. I clicked it. And when I saw this witch getting delivered from demons after being a Reiki healer for like 9-10 years, talking about her experience, how she got delivered, healed, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then was out in the streets already praying for people and they were getting healed. It sparked my interest. And I remember saying to my girlfriend, like, hey, like, you know, Christians have power. Look at this. And I just kept it in the back burner. But then eventually I actually went on their map, met somebody, a lady named Sharon, who started praying for me. I would text her, call her every now and then, but I was kind of like hesitant because I was like, I don't want to deal with this. This is religious, because my version of Christianity was the Catholic Church. You know, my mother being Catholic at the time, you know, raising me in the Catholic Church, I was just like, man, this ain't it. There's no power. It's just it's just religion. You just go every day and you know, you're just whatever. It was boring. So seeing this,
did you tell her? Video, did you say like, hey, I'm a witch. Like, this is who I am. When you reached out to her, I'm a warlock. Did you tell her that?
Straight up told her, like, hey, I do witchcraft. I believe in this. I wear these beads. I have this evil eye, this sage. I was straight up. And this woman was so like just compassionate and so confident. That's what really like blew my mind, was how confident she was and fearless. Like, you know, this lady saying like, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. It's the name of Jesus. Let me pray for you. You know, and
come on.
Me just like, man, what type of power is this? Like, this woman is saying she doesn't do rituals. And I remember talking to her about all that, like, hey, I do this and do that. Do you do anything? Like, no, you know, I don't do any of that. You know, I don't
so
do
that. I pray.
She just prayed in the name of Jesus. And then I met another man, a man of God, you know, as he was walking his dog, the first time I opened up a Bible, bought it off Amazon, opened it up before I even could read a page, he stopped me, you know, walking his dog, just, hey, what is that? You know, it's the Bible. He's like, hey, well, you know, I'm a teacher. I'm a Bible study, you know, a Bible teacher.
Wow, guys, this is like the story of Philip. Remember the Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? The Ethiopian eunuch is in a chariot and he's reading the book of Isaiah, and Philip comes along and he says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I How can I know unless one is shared with me, explained to me, interpreted? This is what this reminds me of.
And he sat down with me and read the book of Romans a little bit, and he recommended me to read it. When I told him about what I do too, he just was like, it's the name of Jesus. Go home and just start saying his name out loud. And I was like, how is this man so confident about saying Jesus's name? How does that do anything? Like, what ritual do I have to do? How much does it cost? Like, where do I have to go? Like, what?
Because there's a Simon the sorcerer. Remember that when he came to Peter? Because Peter was casting out devils. He was healing the sick. God was doing miracles through him. And Simon the sorcerer, this is in the book of Acts, saw it. And he went up to Peter and tried to buy the Holy Ghost. And Peter rebuked him. Says, man, I'm paraphrasing here. You can't buy the Holy Ghost with money. You can't purchase this. And the literal, guys, in the original translation of that, Peter literally said, may your money go to hell with you. That's what he told him. I know that's going to be shock to some of you, but Peter was bold. I mean, this guy told him straight up. Okay. So that all this reminds me of that in witchcraft. Stories.
You always got to buy something, do some type of ritual, and then follow like this instructional manual to try Works to get based. To the, you know, the goal that you want to attain. But he was just simply saying, use the name of Jesus. The demons tremble. Use the name of Jesus. And I'm just like, man, this guy's confident. She's confident. The barber that I was I got my hair cut from, my new barber was so confident and would not listen to worldly rap. I mean, I was trying to recommend him Nipsey Hussle, a guy that I used to listen to that I thought was mature, like super spiritual and positive, which he's not at all. You know, I was trying to like, you know, hey man, like recommend it. He's like, man, I don't listen to that. It's Christian rap. And so all these coincidental events, and then the guy I met in the liquor store, his name is Richard. You know, he approached me and just wouldn't stop crying. This man was like, hey, you have a light on you. There's angels with you. God loves you so much. Man, this man kept inviting me to his church for weeks. And finally I was like, all right, I'm going to go to this guy's church. And I go to the guy's church and I see my barber on the stage playing, leading worship. And I'm like freaking out. Like, do you know him? He's like, I don't even know who that is. He's our worship leader. Cause it's a mega church. It's a big church.
Come on, man. Listen how this is called a divine intervention, divine appointments. God is weaving the tapestry for this man. He's setting out the breadcrumbs and he recognizes it because this man has spiritual inclination. He understands, he's searching, but he's been looking in the wrong place. But God is beginning to open his eyes and showing him the breadcrumbs that God has been leading him to. So obviously we're getting ready to get to the climax of what happened here.
And I'm like, man, like this is my barber. He's a worship leader. He doesn't even know him. And I just was already like shaking, freaking out a little bit. And then they started playing Reckless Love, you know, how he leaves the 99 for the one. And man, that song just wrecked me. I felt the presence of God for the first time, like just not, dropped on my knees and was just crying. And, you know, that's what led me to really go hard and start reading the Bible. And when I, you know, reading the book of Romans, I got through, I believe, all the way to like chapter 8 or 9. I was reading it like with understanding, even though it was in King James. I was reading it and I would go and just, you know, go online and look up a different translation on the Blue Letter Bible app, you know, and I was really trying to learn. And man, once I got to a certain point, I just realized that Jesus Christ is the highest power. Like he's Lord. I didn't say Lord, you know, but I just knew he was the highest power. The minute I realized like Jesus, he's the one, he's the one. Like I had this overwhelming feeling come over me. It was like a light in the spirit. A light came into my apartment, hit me. I mean, like it was such a powerful presence. The presence entered me. Now the Holy Spirit entered me and I got knocked to the ground. I started manifesting demons. I literally started crying, coughing, throw up. Like I didn't know what was going on. I was just,
this is like a Road to Damascus encounter is what it sounds like.
Like blacked out. Like I was there, but wasn't. It was like, it was crazy. And I got up and I just knew. And I was like, man, it's Jesus. It wasn't here. It wasn't head knowledge. It was my heart. My heart changed. I had like, had love. I had peace now. Like it was like, this is it. This is what I've been seeking. This is what I've been looking for. This is it. And I remember I even spoke in tongues, all that. Like, wow. I didn't know what was going on. I just felt this overwhelming power, this overwhelming love. Like I just wanted to tell everybody. I was like, this is it. I called the lady Sharon, told her what happened. She was just rejoicing, praising God. I was just like, what do I do? So I'm speaking to all these Christians that I met, like, what do I do? I have all these altars and all this witchcraft stuff. What do I do? And they were like, burn it. You got to get rid of it.
Destroy it.
Yep. You got to get rid of it. I mean, God was sending people left and right. I remember right now, it just came across my mind. I remember even an Uber driver, some random Uber driver I met. He was a Christian talking to me about Jesus. It's like God sent so many people in a short period of time. When he was like, enough is enough, it's time. You know how the Bible says, you can't come to the Son unless the Father, you know, draws you in. It's like, it was over. Like God was like, now he's going to encounter my Son. And that's when I got filled with the Spirit.
So you got filled with the Spirit. It's interesting because right now in the church, right, there's a debate about deliverance ministry and exorcism, and there's 30 different terms and everybody's talking about different things. Sometimes they're talking about the same things. So when you had this experience, you were by yourself when Holy Spirit entered you, did you go through a deliverance after that? Did you not? Was that the deliverance? I'd love to hear your take.
So deliverance. I didn't know any of that. I didn't know about the debates. I didn't know about like what's going on. Like, you know, I just got delivered. And I knew I needed more deliverance. Like, I just, because my mind, the attacks were crazy, and I knew it was internal. And I went to a deliverance minister after that, from a powerful deliverance ministry down in Fort Lauderdale, Invicta Ministries. And this man of God, really, you know, that's his ministry, all deliverance. God's using him for that still to this day. And man, he just had me fill out a form of all the things I did, all the witchcraft and just generational stuff. And when we met up, we did like a one-on-one deliverance session. And I'll never forget, man, he started calling out demons and I was feeling things and, you know, more deliverance. I spit up blood. Wow. I remember, again, I manifested demons again and they came out and I spit up and I looked into the garbage can. And he was like, hey, look, there's blood, man. That's blood. And I freaked out, man, because I was like, man, that's really blood. Like, this isn't just my throat. You know, right. Like having a, you know, whatever, like, no, it was blood. And man, I felt more, it was like every time I went through more deliverance, I felt more and more freedom, like more peace, like more just like, man, I was sleeping like a baby. I didn't have to take pills or drink alcohol to sleep anymore. Like I completely got.
Wow. There's a revelation. If you can't sleep at night, you don't have any peace. You're filled with anxiety. You're filled with fear. These thoughts, these intrusive thoughts to do self-harm. Maybe you need deliverance. Listen, I believe in deliverance. And I'm not saying that every Christian has a devil. I'm not saying that. Even Christians, guys, listen to me. Even believers, listen, you can have, like I said earlier, you can have demonic oppression on you. You can have things that you're carrying around with you. I'm not saying you're possessed, but there is real oppression. Remember, the daughter of Abraham had, for 18 years, had a spirit of infirmity on her and had to get set free from that. So again, I'm just throwing that
out there. From pornography addiction that I had my entire life. I mean, really, like, never went back to porn by the grace of God. Like, got delivered. I used to be addicted, you know, watching porn 3-4 times a day. Like a lot of people out there are dealing with that. Got completely delivered. I mean, I didn't want to fornicate with women anymore. I was just like, I'm done. Like, I don't want any of these girls. Even the girl I was dating, she was pregnant with my kid, my first child, 7 months pregnant. I told her we can't even sleep in the same room. I was radical. Like, I thank God for the people that God sent in my life at that time, because they really gave me the right counsel. They weren't, you know, like gummy bear about it. They were like, hey, you can't sleep in the same bed. What looks like sin is sin. You cannot, this isn't your girlfriend. You're not boyfriend. That's not how it is in the kingdom. You know, it's courtship and you need to grow in Christ and all these things. Like, they kept it real with me and I listened. And
that's how I was discipled as well, guys. When I got saved in 2000, and my wife at that time, it was not my wife, but it was my girlfriend, before we even got engaged, We did not go into we made rules and boundaries. We didn't go in the same room together. We didn't go on dates together. We didn't go, put ourselves, if we went on dates, we went with other people. We didn't put ourselves in an environment where we're going to be tempted to fornicate. And I know that sounds insane today, but these were radical guys. Again, if you've really been born again and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, it God is going to, he's going to invoke you to holiness. He's going to invoke you to serve him. You become, the Bible says you're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price, and you become no longer a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness. You will have that desire to want to serve him. You'll have that desire not to, to hurt him or violate the commandments of God.
Listen, for the most part. And
Would you have said that you were possessed before you went through all this, you know, in light of everything you were doing?
Yep. Fully, I definitely was. I definitely was possessed. I felt, I mean, I was hearing voices. I was literally hearing voices. I mean, my friends that got saved, some of them that got saved, and even some of them that are still in the world, when I have conversations with them now, they're like, man, you've completely changed. Like, remember you used to do this? Remember you used to talk? And I'm just like, man, what was wrong with me? Like, I was messed up. And just to see the 180 and how I am now, I know I was possessed. Like, I used to believe that the things I was doing were right. I used to believe like I was in full on agreement. Like, this is right. Abortion is right. These girls got to get aborted. I mean, these girls got to get these babies aborted. I would convince people about abortion, convince people to get drunk, to cheat on their wives. Like, I was literally working for the devil.
Hmm.
And now you're not only a Christian, you are a pastor. And so it's been 4 years since you've been a Christian and you're in ministry now. It's pretty incredible to me. You know, as we sort of round out to a close here, it's one thing to come into faith. What was it that convinced you you had a calling to go into ministry?
So I didn't even know what a calling was. When I came to Christ, I got filled with the Spirit. I just wanted to go tell everybody about Jesus. I just had a fire in me and I wanted to go tell everybody. And this is around COVID time. And I just went telling everybody like, hey, this is what Jesus did for me. He's God. You know, I did all this other stuff and none of it worked. And he's the one, he's the highest power. People were getting, you know, touched by the Holy Spirit, crying in grocery stores and all that. And I was evangelizing. I didn't even know what evangelism was. And that ministry, the Last Reformation with Torben Sandegaard really kickstarted me. And that's their whole, that's their vision, is kickstarting people, letting them know, like, you know, like teaching them about their God-given authority. And man, I just was like, okay, the Bible says I can lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. I can cast out demons. Like, I got delivered from demons. And then in Christ, I got healed from a disease I had for 9 years. So I knew,
wow,
you know, firsthand, deliverance is real. Healing is real. So because of that.
So you had a healing. You had a healing too.
Yeah. I had larynx pharyngeal reflux. It's called silent reflux, LPR. They say it's genetic. I had a hiatal hernia. I had gotten 4 endoscopies in the military. They couldn't do anything about it. They just said, hey, you know, you're going to be on Nexium, which is a protein pump inhibitor, for the rest of your life, which depletes your natural acid, which is really bad for you, which causes dementia and a whole bunch of other stuff. And I'm like, man, I can't. I knew what this could cause and I didn't want it. I mean, I was just like, even in the world, I was trying all these natural remedies a lot. I mean, I tried everything, man. Like, I tried all these herbs and alkaline water and nothing worked. Manuka honey. I mean, all these random stuff that I would, you know, research on Reddit, nothing.
Been there, done that. And I went through that whole thing too with reflux. And it took years, guys, trial and error to figure out what it was for me. And for me, it was not genetic. It was literally food sensitivities. I don't know why I'm talking about this. This might be for somebody, because here's what I'm saying. Not everything, guys, I'm not taking away his testimony of God healing him. Praise God. But again, remember, his was genetic. But you may be watching, listening to this. This is kind of a side angle, but it's a bonus. And you may be praying and asking God to heal your body of something, but it may not require a miracle as much as it requires, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Okay? Maybe you need to, for me, I was suffering with this stuff for years. I mean, I had gastritis, multiple flare-ups of gastritis that would go on 3-4 months. I had multiple ulcers. Some of y'all has walked through this, my journey with this, for years. If you've been a partner of our ministry for the last 20 years, you'll know what I'm talking about. You've been through this with me. So it's taken that long. I used to think, well, I can't drink tea anymore, but that wasn't it. It wasn't tea. It wasn't Mexican food. It was, for me, It was like different foods. It was tomato based pasta sauces. Like I cannot eat any spaghetti or pizza with tomato sauce. That's a huge trigger. Cannot eat any hibachi. I love hibachi, but can't eat it anymore. I don't know what it is, but whatever they put in hibachi, it will cause an instant flare up of gastritis that will last a whole week. And if I ignore that and keep eating this stuff, it will turn into full blown a chronic gastritis and then go into something worse, which is ulcers. But, you know, I've been, for the grace of God, been off all these proton, as he's talking about the PPIs, all of that stuff. Once I've found those triggers, I just avoid them, and God has helped me along with that. So I don't know who that's for, but again, God does not always need to bring you a miracle as in a healing like this, but we got to listen and pay attention to our bodies. Come on, there's practical things out there. So anyway, let's go back to this.
Thing worked, but then when I came to Christ and he completely delivered me, it never came back. I mean, I was able to eat things I couldn't eat before.
Praise God.
I mean, I couldn't drink coffee at all. If I drank even a sip of caffeine, all my food was coming up unless I took a Nexium. And I was drinking coffee, no issues. I mean, completely healed me. Like that. They said the hiatal hernia. I remember I got an endoscopy in Greece. They said they had the hiatal hernia was just genetics and you got to deal with it forever. Completely gone. Like everything is healed. So I knew that healing was real. I knew that deliverance was real. I knew that Christians, even, you know, because I got more deliverance, could need deliverance from oppression, you know?
Yep.
And I was just like, man, I know it's real. I want to do it. So I would pray. I would fast. I would ask the Lord, you know, to use me. I would go out and evangelize. And eventually deliverance ministry started. I was seeing so many people delivered. I learned a lot from Derek Prince. People like Derek Prince, Isaiah Salvador at the time, that's when he first started dropping videos. And I was learning so much, and I was just out there in the field, man. I was in the streets, literally house visits, downtowns, like anywhere I went, you know, the Lord literally was sending people to me that needed deliverance, and people were receptive. They wanted it. I mean, the word of mouth spread. I had no social media. I wasn't posting on social media like that. I was like against recording deliverances and healings. I was kind of religious, like, oh, that stuff is, they're just doing it for show and to be famous and for money and all that stuff. But eventually God, you know, taught me some more, you know, taught me how you could shine your light through the social media spaces. But it was just natural. And then, I got under some powerful men of God that, you know, fathered me in the faith. And God shot me into it. You know, he shot me into it. And we had a house church and it just started to grow. And then my spiritual covering out in Dallas, Prayer Mountain, Pastor Robert Summers was like, hey, you need to get ordained. Like your Bible study has grown to a certain point that you're pastoring. Like, I was an evangelist. I still am for a while. I've evangelism. But now God was like, hey, you got a pastor, you got to teach. And the Lord really, the Holy Spirit taught me quick, fast tracked me. And now we have a ministry out here in Florida, Apopka, near Orlando. And it's growing, and it's a lot of youth, a lot of evangelists. And man, we're seeing people transform, drug dealers giving up pounds of weed, witches bringing all their witchcraft. And it's like a regular thing. Like every service, people are getting saved. There hasn't been one
service. And delivered. It sounds like you're doing deliverance too, obviously.
Lot of deliverance. Yeah. A lot. People are coming to get delivered from all types of things. We've seen, man, miracles, people getting healed from all types of diseases, delivered from demons, generational curses broken. You know, people that are Christians, that have been Christians for a while, and just the Lord, just by faith and by his word, you know, really just.
Now, I already know that's going to spawn some theological arguments and debates and strife and discord. Again, not one time did this man say that Christians are possessed. He didn't say that. He said oppressed, and that's the key. We're not talking about possession here, guys, but you can be oppressed with stuff. 100% and need deliverance and need set free from that stuff. 100%. And I don't care if you can deny it. You can say it's not real. I don't care what you do, because we got people that deny spiritual warfare, but it doesn't neglect the fact that it doesn't negate the fact that it's not real, because it is real. It's absolutely 100% real. The Apostle Paul talked about it in his writings.
Doing what he does. Jesus Christ is God. You know, he's the fullness of God bodily. And he's moving. It's revival. Revival is breaking out in our ministry for sure.
Now, you may be watching this and say, well, what's this got to do with Halloween? Well, if you have to ask that question, you were not paying attention. Again, guys, everything about Halloween, literally, it personifies darkness, the occult, witchcraft, new age, sorcery, black magic, white magic, evil. And again, the scriptures, guys, tell us that we as believers are to abstain from every appearance of evil. We are not to become yoked with or have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. I don't know how much more scriptures we can give, how many more people we can bring in and they could testify. Again, whoever's watching tonight, we're going to end this right here. If you're watching, you're listening, maybe you're delved into the occult and into darkness. You're practicing this openly. You're partaking of this. Maybe this message has convicted you because you've allowed your children to participate in the celebration of the occult and darkness and a holiday that's centered around this stuff. If that's you, come on, let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this word that was given tonight. I thank you for this powerful testimony. And Lord, I believe that there is other individuals out there under the sound of my voice that's watching, that's listening. Maybe they have delved into the occult and darkness and new age and magic and witchcraft and all of this stuff. Or maybe they have been partaking of the unfruitful works of darkness. I'm asking that the Holy Spirit of God would move upon this broadcast, whether visual or by the audio of this, and that the Holy Spirit would arrest them where they're at, bring them to conviction and repentance, that they would begin to open their mouth and begin to renounce the unfruitful works of darkness. Come on, just open your mouth, renounce the occult, renounce witchcraft, renounce sorcery, renounce all forms of darkness and evil and demonic alliances. Just begin to renounce this stuff and repent of this stuff. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you and ask him to wash you in his blood. If you're opening your mouth and you're praying this, the Bible says, if you will confess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that Christ that died and rose again from the third day, you shall be saved. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I believe people right now, if they're in this category, if they call upon the Lord tonight with a repentant heart, then God is saving you, and I believe he's in the process of delivering you in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you're doing, Lord, right now, that you're saving, redeeming, and delivering people from the works of darkness in Jesus' name. God, you're going to connect them with the Holy Ghost, Spirit-filled ministries, churches, organizations, whatever that looks like for them and their location and where they're at. If they don't have a home church, Father, we welcome them here to the family of believers here at End Time Headlines. And we pray that we would disciple them, equip them, and train them up in the way in which they should go, Father, and direct them towards you, the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, we just take authority over the works of darkness tonight, over the powers of the enemy and evil. We bind all spells, binding spells, seances. We bind all works and practices of the occult and witchcraft that would try to be used against the people of God, against our nation's leaders, against those of authority. We bind it in Jesus' name. We declare that it'll have no effect. We declare no weapon formed against us, our families, our marriages, our children, our nation, and our leaders shall prosper. And every tongue that would rise up against them in judgment, God, you are condemning it. And we give you praise. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Again, guys, thank you so much. Be sure again to hit that like button, hit that share button, hit that bell notification. That's going to help you and us. It's going to help you by keeping up with us here on YouTube and on Rumble. And if you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, again, if you enjoy our content, be sure to give us a good review. And again, guys, if you don't have the app, you can get it today at your Apple or your Android Play Store. Download it today. It is absolutely free. It's going to be a great blessing to you. Make sure you hit that bell notification, and then you'll be squared away. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a blessing to you, we would love for you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. You could do that two different ways, electronically or through check or money order right there on your screen. There's all the information. If you're listening by podcast, again, if you go to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, you'll see places there you can give online. If you're watching by YouTube, right up at the top where it says support in bold letters, in capital letters, there's a link there. Or you can give by check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So we love you guys. We appreciate you so much. We're going to sign off for tonight. Be safe. Be blessed. And we'll see you guys right back here tomorrow afternoon, Friday afternoon, November 1st, for our quick update, our afternoon update at 2 p.m. Eastern, Lord willing. So until then, I pray the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.